I want to shift our attention to, for the remainder of our time this evening, to a very interesting seeming contradiction in the context of the Korban Pesach and what Pesach and what the Korban Pesach represents. And what got me thinking about this is that we spent so much time in our lead up to Pesach this year, the last couple of weeks, talking about the coronavirus and COVID-19 and the concerns and the fears that we are sort of gripped in this moment of fear. And I want to draw your attention to this little vignette that I saw amongst the millions of different vignettes that were traveling through the and little memes and references traveling through the internet. This one caught my attention. The 78-year-old man was hospitalized and needed to be connected to oxygen for 24 hours. When he recovered, was about to be discharged, the doctor charged him with a bill for $5,000. The man started to cry. The doctor tried to tell him not to cry about the amount that he owed. He explained that The man explained that he wasn't crying about the $5,000. He was crying because for 78 years, he's been breathing free oxygen from a Kadosh Baruch Hu and he never paid anything. So how much do we owe a Kadosh Baruch Hu for that? So the doctor bowed his head and shared his tears. The notion that amidst everything that's going on, we are celebrating the experience of the Korban Pesach that we are commemorating through the Pesach Seder is really a moment of hodah, of thanksgiving. Pesach is all about saying thanks. It's about saying thanks to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Lefichach anachnu chayavim lehodot ulehallel, we say at the Seder. We are obligated to give thanks and to sing praise. And there's so much to be thankful for in our lives on a regular basis. We sort of get gripped and engulfed in the conflicts of the world and in the tension around us that we don't always realize how much there is to be thankful for in our lives. And I want to focus our attention, therefore, on the notion of todah, of thanksgiving, of hodayah, and how it relates to the Korban Pesach and Pesach night. And I actually want to start from what seems to be a kind of contradiction in the themes of Pesach. There is in the Torah a korban that is devoted specifically to the expression of thanksgiving. It's called the korban todah, or the thanksgiving offering. And it could be brought by anybody who felt, famously the Gemara describes, we'll see the Gemara in a few minutes, famously describes four who are obligated to express thanks. We are familiar with the modern equivalent of the Korban Todah. We don't have the Korban anymore, but we have the Bracha of Hagomel. And the Bracha of Hagomel was instituted specifically to address those moments that the Korban Todah was designed to be brought. So a person who crosses the Midbar, crosses a desert, crosses a sea, crosses a person who is ill and who has become healthy again, a person who was incarcerated and who was freed from jail. But these are moments or times in which we recite the Korban Todah, the Birkat HaGomel. They are references to the Korban Todah in the time of the Beit HaMikdash. Now the Korban Todah had a unique characteristic. It could be brought, why are we talking about the Korban Todah instead of the Pesach? We'll see in a few moments. But the Korban Todah had a unique characteristic, and one of its characteristics is that it contained loaves of bread, of lechem, that had to be brought with the offering, and then we'll see exactly what those loaves were. But of those loaves, a quarter of them were made out of chametz. Three quarters of them were made out of matzah, and the other quarter of them were made out of lachmei todah, were made out of chametz. And so because they were brought out of chametz, the Rama writes that there are certain tefillot that we have in our daily tefillah that are references to the Korban Todah. One in particular is the Mizmor LaTodah that we recite in Psukkah Zimra in the mornings. So the Rama writes, Ein omrim Mizmor LaTodah Be'erev Pesach v'lo b'yomtev. We don't recite the Mizmor LaTodah on Pesach. We're all familiar with this minhag, we don't recite the piyot of the Tehillim. Mizmor LaTodah, we skip that one little paragraph from Sukkot Zimra on Pesach as well as Erev Pesach. Why do we skip it? Simply put, the Magen Avraham writes, because Lach Metodah hayu chametz, because the Lach Metodah were made out of chametz. And so you could not bring the Korban Todah on Pesach. It was one Korban that you absolutely were not allowed to bring any time during Pesach because it had chametz associated with it. And because it could not be brought on Pesach, we don't even mention Mizmor LaTodah in our tefillah. We literally skip the paragraph because Korban Todah is forbidden. It is outside of the pale. It's not allowed on Pesach. After all, it had chametz. And just to add a little bit of a twist, the Machzis Shakel says, our tefillah is in lieu of our korbanot. Neshama parim svatenu, says the Pasuk in Hosea. We recite these tefillot in lieu of the korban. So we don't say the tefillah or the tehillim of Mizmor LaTodah because we don't want to mention the korban that we're not allowed to bring on Pesach. Fine. That's very nice. But there's a problem. The problem is that we have three matzahs at the Seder. And those three matzahs at the Seder, says the Ramah, Noagu lasot shalosh matzot shel ha-Seder, are made out of a quantity, there was a minhag, to make the three matzahs of the Seder out of a quantity of flour called an isaron, which is 1/10 of an ephah, about the size of a amount of flour for a person for a day, and omer lakogola, which is a tenth of an ephah. Why? Zecher l'lach metoda, because that was the amount of flour that was needed to make three out of the four breads that accompanied the lach metoda. So because the isaron accompanied was what you made the breads for the toda out of, we, in the Pesach Seder, when we make our matzah, we make it both three, to correspond to the three quarters of the lach metoda that were made out of matzah, not out of chametz, and we make it out of the same weight of flour as the lach metoda, because we want to commemorate the toda at the Seder night. So this is extraordinary. This is extraordinary. What we're suggesting here is that, in fact, we want bedafka, we want the Korban Todah to appear front and center in a position of preeminence and significance at the Seder, so much so that the matzah, which is at the core of our Pesach experience, we are going to make it in such a way that it's going to constantly remind us of the Korban Todah and the breads associated with it, even though the Korban Todah, we said, is made out of chametz, and we're not allowed to even mention the Korban Todah in our tefillah. An extraordinary contradiction. I'm going to jump for a moment to this sefer. I'll come back to the sources in that we just skipped over. This is a sefer written Shailot u'Tshuvot of the Mishnat Sakhir. Mishnat Sakhir is a very interesting sefer. It was written, it's a series of Shailot u'Tshuvot, written by Yisachar Shlomo Teichtel. Yisachar Shlomo Teichtel is famous to most of us because he's the author of a very famous book on religious Zionism called Em Habonim Smecha. He was a Munkacher Chassid, was killed unfortunately by the Nazis in Hungary. During the war, he wrote a very famous kind of about face about religious Zionism and the support of the Zionist movement. It's called Em Habonim Smecha. It's an extraordinary book. He also wrote a series of Shailos and Tshuvos. And in that text, he writes this question. He says, on the one hand, the Ramah writes that we make the matzah out of the amount of flour that was used in the lach metoda and the breads of the korban toda. And on the other hand, right, so here he says, Hare anu osim pu'ulad ofin gimu matzot m'isaron. We make these three matzahs out of an isaron of flour and zecher letoda to commemorate the korban toda. And the Ramah writes this. So if that's the case, we should certainly recite the tefillah of Mizmor LaTodah. We should acknowledge the Todah in our tefillah if we do, if we bake the matzah in such a way to commemorate the Korban Todah, certainly we should recite Mizmor LeTodah. Im ein anu Mizmor LeTodah, lama osin zecher LeTodah b'chalot matzot. If we are not reciting Mizmor LeTodah because we don't want to mention the Todah, then why are we including that in the way in which we bake the matzah? That's the question that he asks. It's a very powerful question if you think about the halakhic ramifications of this, the connection between the Korban Pesach and the Korban Todah. I want to actually come back to this pasuk in the Korban Todah. It's Psukim in Vayikra. We actually read it this morning. Actually happens to be the parsha of Parshat Tzav, which was the parsha we read in our homes when we davened this morning. And I want to point out exactly what this is all about. This is about the fact that the Korban Todah was accompanied by four sets of breads. Imal Todah Yakrivenu, if you bring the Todah as your offering, with it you brought Mikriv Al Zevach Todah, with it four kinds of breads. And they are described here. Chalot Matzot Bilulot Bashemen, breads of matzah that were unleavened wafered spread with oil, blulot b'shemen, urekike matzot mishuchim b'shemen, and choice flour mixed with oil, and solet murbechet chalot blulot b'shemen, unleavened cakes with oil mixed, unleavened wafers spread with oil, and cakes of choice flour with oil mixed in, three different kinds of the meal offerings made out of flour and oil, all of which were matzah based, not chametz. Al chalot lechem chametz yakriv korbano, with the addition of a bread of chametz, his offering shall be brought. And the Mishnah in Menachos, which I'm going to skip for the time being, describes the amounts, the quantities, and says that there was two ephahs. Ephah, remember, Yisaron is tenth of an ephah. Two ephahs that were used for all of the challahs that a person brought. They were made, one ephah was used to bake the chametz breads, and one ephah was used to bake all three kinds of matzah, chalot u'kikinu v'vucha. Ends up being shlosha esronim v'shlish l'chomin v'min, shalosh chalot l'isaron, so it ends up with three matzahs, or three different types, would make up out of one tenth of an ephah. The math is not our issue for now. What is significant for us is that this amount of flour was an enormous amount of flour. It actually made not one loaf, not four loaves, but 40 loaves of lachmei todah that had to be eaten lo yaniach mimenu ad boker. It had to be eaten biyom korbano, on the day he brought the korban, and not to be left over for the morning. That meant that a person who brought a Thanksgiving offering to Yerushalayim, he had to bring the animal itself together with 40 loaves of bread, 30 of which were made out of matzah and 10 of which were made out of chametz. And all of those loaves of bread, all 40 of them, had to be consumed before the next morning. V'yom korbano yachel le'anich mimenu ad boker. To do that, you had to kind of gather all your friends together in a kind of a big suda, a big meal, because you couldn't do it yourself. There's no way one person in one 24-hour period is going to eat the animal itself plus 40 loaves of bread. So the only way to consume all of that is actually to invite a large number of people to gather together. And in so doing, you tell the story of what happened, of why you're bringing this Korban Todah, and you have a kind of a sudas hoda'ah, which is the source for the concept of a sudas hoda'ah, of a meal of Thanksgiving altogether. And that's where the Korban Todah, the story of the Korban Todah comes from. So why do we have this contradiction? On the one hand, we make our matzah at the Pesach Seder, all the matzah that we have at the Seder, the three matzahs that we bake, we do so specifically out of the quantity that was equal to the Korban Todah, the matzah portion of the Korban Todah, or at least three matzahs, not 30, but three. And yet, we're not allowed to mention the Korban Todah in our tefillah because there was a fourth component, and that was chametz, and we're not allowed to mention it because the Korban Todah had to be brought with chametz. That's the question. That's the question of the Mishnah Sach. So it got me thinking that there's two pieces to the story that I think are particularly relevant and I wanted to explore. One is, how did we get from a discussion about Pesach to a discussion about the Korban Todah? Korban Todah is not relevant to Pesach. Pesach is about the Korban Pesach. The Korban Todah is about the Korban Todah. What's the connection between them? That was my first question. My second question is, is there an answer somewhere in this to the question of the Mishnah Sachir with regards to why we have this contradiction? So led me back to the source of this custom. The source of this custom is a sefer called the Sefer HaManig. It's quoted by the Rosh. Sefer HaManig, Rabbi Avram, Rabbi Nosson Hayarchi. He's called Hayarchi because he came from the city of Lunel in Provence, kind of the lunar Yerech connection. He wrote a very important sefer called Sefer HaManig, which was a study of comparative customology, as J.J. Schechter likes to call it, a list of all of the minhagim in different communities. And he writes this minhag: Shalosh matzot nagu b'tzofat lasot ha-shalosh matzot na'asimita efa zechel etrumat lachmei toda. The custom in Tzofat was to bring make the three matzos out of the equivalent of a tenth of an efa as a zecher to the lachmei toda, to the breads of the toda, at least the three quarters of the breads that were made from matzah. Why? Because if we go back to the source of the Korban Todah / Birkata Gomel, Gemara and Brachos, that lists the context in which we are to recite the Korban Todah, the Bracha of HaGomel, Gemara there says that there are four categories of people who are obligated to bring this kind of offering, and they are, we'll list them in a moment, and one of them, he writes here, is here down va'anu yatzanu mibeit ha'asurim mimitzrayim. One of the contexts of a person who cites Hagomel is a person who was in jail, incarcerated, and he is set free. Well, says the Sefer HaManig, we are all incarcerated, and we were all set free in the context of Yetziat Mitzrayim. And so Yetziat Mitzrayim is one big moment of Toda, of thanksgiving, of Hodaya, of Birkat HaGomel, of a Korban Toda. We as a people were Yatzanu Mibeit HaAsurim. And therefore we are all obligated to express this thanksgiving through the Korban Toda. Well, if that's true, then why don't we do it all the way? Why do we have an Isser Chametz instead of a mitzvah to bring the Korban Todah with the Chametz with it? Now, that was sort of part of what led me to this quest to try to understand how the Korban Todah fits into Pesach. So I want to take us to the Gemara and Brachos. This is the source for Birkat HaGomel today, or the Korban Todah in the context of when you brought such a Korban in the context of the Beit HaMikdash. And the Gemara states the following: Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, Arba'at Tzrichim Lehodot. There are four categories of people that are obligated to give thanks, again, either through the Thanksgiving offering or Hagomel today in our context. They are Yordei Hayam, seafarers; Holchei Midbarot, those who cross the desert; Mi Sheya Chole Venitrape, somebody who was ill and recovered; and somebody who was incarcerated in prison and was set free. Where does the Gemara derive these four categories from? From a perek in Tehillim, which we're going to analyze in a moment. Yodei Hayam, Minalan Dichtiv. How do we know Yodei Hayam? Because the pasuk says, Yodei Hayam Boniot, those who go down to the sea and cross the sea in ships, they see the great deeds of God, etc. I'll come to the etc. in a moment. And that paragraph ends, Yodu LaHashem Chazov V'Niflotav L'Bnei Adam, they shall be grateful to God and show grace and show thanksgiving to God for his loving kindness and the wonders he does for mankind. Second category, Holchem Midbarot, those who cross the desert. Now, as it says in the same paragraph in Tehillim Kuf Zayin, Tov Bamidbar Yishimon, those who wander the wilderness, they will cry out to God, Vayitzaku Al Hashem, God will lead them to the destination, Yodul Hashem Chazdo, and they shall be give thanks to God. Misha Chalav Benitrapeh, somebody who was ill and recovered, similarly quoting Psukim from this parak in Tehillim, and Misha Yachavush Beveit Asurim, one who was incarcerated, as it says, Yoshev Choshech Betzamavet, etc. Shulchan Aruch quotes this in the context of Birkat HaGomel. I'm going to skip that for now. I want to go to this parak in Tehillim, which in your source page you have on page 8, and I have here on the screen. I've laid it out for you. You may have seen this before. We discussed it once before in the context of Ashir and Yom HaTzmaut. This parak of Tehillim is the source for what the Gemara describes as the contexts in which we recite HaGomel. And if you look at the top paragraph, now this is just to understand how I've laid this out on the screen. These are psukim in order. Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, Vav, Zayin, Chet, Tet, Yud, Yud, Aleph, Yud, Bet, etc. You can see these psukim are in order. However, this parak of Tehillim is very clearly structured with a kind of a refrain that carries through each paragraph. And that's here down at the bottom. Yodul Hashem Chazdo Beniflotav Livnei Adam. You see it four times. Each one of these four contexts is a different context of a person who is in trouble, cries out to God from their troubles, is saved from their trouble, and then offers an expression of thanksgiving for their tzara that they were saved from. That is exactly the context of a Todah, that is exactly the context of a Birkat HaGomel today. And those four contexts are as follows. Tov Bamidbar, and I've given you the translation on the bottom here if you want to follow, if that's easier for you to follow along. I'm going to work through the Hebrew at the top of the page. Tov Bamidbar b'Yishimon derech ir moshav l'matzau. If a person lost their way in the wilderness, they could not find their place, their destination to be settled. So what did they do? They were lost in the desert. They couldn't find where they were going. Re'evim, they were hungry and thirsty. Gansme'im, they were about to faint. Nafsham b'em titataf. Vayitz'aku al Hashem batzar lehem. In their distress, they called out to God. Mimutzukatahem yatzilem, that he should save them from their distress. And God responded, Vayadrichem b'derech yishara lelechat al yir moshav. God led them in the right path. He brought them out of the desert, out of being lost, to their destination, el yir moshav. So what should they do in response? Yodu l'Hashem chazdo v'niflotav l'vnei Adam. They should give thanks to God and express his wonders for giving this hungry and thirsty soul the directions to find their way home. Category 1. Category 2. Yoshvei Choshech Vitzamavet. Asirei Aniu Vazel. Person who dwells in darkness. In the shadow of death. Asirei Aniu Vazel. Chained. Bound in irons. Perhaps because they were being punished for spurning the counsel of God or for their arrogance. Mayachnaba Malibam. Nonetheless, Vayizaku al Hashem Batzalem, they cried out to God in their distress, Mimutzukotehem Yoshiem, God should save them from their distress. And he does. Vayotziem Michoshech Vatzamavat, he saved them from darkness and from death. Umosrotehem Yinatek, opened up, broke apart their chains of prison, of bondage. Yodul Hashem Chazdo, they should give thanks to God. Meniflotav Livne Adam, Kishibar Daltot Nechoshet Bechebazel Gidea. Thanks to God, he shattered the gates of bronze and broke the iron bonds. Third category. Chole, person who is sick. Kol ochel tita'ev nafsham, who could not eat because of their hunger, because of their illness. Yagim et shari mavet, they reached the edge, the gates of death. But cried out to God, vayizaku al Hashem batzar lahem, he sent a refuah, yishlach dvaro b'yirpa'em, he saved them, he healed them. Vayimalet mishchitotam, they again give thanks to God v'infotav l'vnei Adam. And just to add another step, to their requirement. Not only do they give thanks to God, but here we have a beginning of a description of how they give thanks. Vayizbechu zivchei todah, by bringing offerings of thanksgiving. In the fourth category, Yodei Hayam Ba'aniyot, those who cross the sea with ships, who do their see the wonders of God. They come into the sea and they realize that God makes the sea stand up. Batromem galav, and the waves stand. Yalu shamayim yardu tamot, and they're tossed about the sea, up to the heavens and down to the depths. They don't know what to do. They are running around like a shikor, like a drunkard. And they're distressed. They cried out to God. He shall save them. He shall calm the seas into yakem sirad l'dmama. The tempest shall turn into quiet waters. And yismachu, they shall rejoice. It will return them safely to their destination. Yodel Hashem chazdo, they shall give thanks to God for his wonders. Yiromemu b'kal'am, and praise God in the congregation. And in these last two verses, we have an additional component or requirement of the Korban Todah, namely, not only does it come with a Korban, not only does it come with Zivchei Todah, but it has to be in public. It has to be b'kahalam, which is where the halacha comes from, that Birkat HaGomel has to have a minyan. In the original context of the Korban Todah, I spoke earlier about the 40 loaves that you had to have with all your friends in one big meal, because it had to be eaten by the next day. That the Korban Todah was designed to gather all of the people together, to express your story, to tell your story to your friends, to eat all those 40 loaves of bread as an expression of hoda'ah to the Rebbeinu Shlomo of thanksgiving. You can't eat it by yourself. So you have to bring not only Zivchei Todah, but you have to praise God b'kahalam in the context of a community of people. That's how the Korban Todah was set out. So what's the relevance to the Pesach? So two observations. Number one, I'm going to go back to the context of this parak. It begins with the following statement. This is sort of an introduction to this parak. Hodu l'Hashem ki tov ki li'olam chasdo, give thanks to God for his kindness endures for eternity. Yomru g'ulei Hashem, asher ga'alam miyad tsar u'me'aratzot kibtzam mizrach u'mimarav mitzafon u'miyam. That those who are redeemed by God, who redeems them from all distress, who gathers them from the four corners of the earth, east, west, north, and south. This, in its original context, this parak is not just about four who are obligated to give thanks to God for they took a business trip and they crossed the desert or they crossed the sea and now they have to bench goma. The original context of this parak was much more dramatic. It was talking about kibbutz galiot, it was talking about the ingathering of the exiles. It's talking about the process of redemption. And there are four directions from which the Jews will return to the land of Israel, north, south, east, and west. North, south, east, and west are directions of each of these categories. Those who cross the desert will have to come to the land of Israel from the east. Or those who will cross the sea will have to come to the land of Israel from the sea, from the west. Or those who will have to be, who are incarcerated and will have to free their bonds and their chains of imprisonment in order to return to the land of Israel. Or those who will return to the land of Israel only after great hardship and illness and the efforts to reach the land. But from all corners of the earth and through all trial and tribulations, the people shall return to the land of Israel. Yomru gulei Hashem, those who redeemed, shall express this feeling of thanksgiving. The Korban Todah wasn't just an expression of personal thanks. It was described in this parak specifically about the process of the redemption of Israel through the act of returning to the land of Israel, the kibbutz goliot. And like every experience of redemption in Tanakh, any reference to redemption in Tanakh always follows the paradigm of Yetziat Mitzrayim. And that's what the Sefer Manhig was describing. It says, that's exactly what we underwent when we left Mitzrayim. We were the slaves who were incarcerated and freed, the chavush, shenishtachrer, the ones who were asirei oni u'bazel, those who were chained in irons and poverty and who were let free. We were the ones who were sick and who reached the edge of death, the gates of death, and had to be healed. We were the ones who had to walk through the sea, Yerdei Hayam, were to cross the sea to leave Mitzrayim to be redeemed. We were the ones who had to go through the desert, Olchei Midbar, for 40 years to be redeemed from Egypt. The reference, the paradigm of Yetziat Mitzrayim would serve as the paradigm for the redemption to come. But it starts with a reference to Yetziat Mitzrayim. We underwent each of these experiences. Now, if that's true, then there seems to be a direct connection between the experience of Pesach and the experience of the Korban Todah. In fact, so clear is this connection, so dramatic, that I saw one article that said that in fact, maybe the Korban Pesach, in a certain fashion, is in fact a form of a Korban Todah. Meaning what? Think about what the Korban Todah was. Korban Todah essentially meant that you had a person who felt this expression of thanksgiving. He had to bring an offering that he had to eat. It's a form of shlamim. The owner of the korban had to eat it himself. He had to bring 40 loaves of bread. And with those 40 loaves of bread, 30 of them matzah, 10 of them chametz. We'll come back to that in a moment. He had to gather all his friends together, sit in Yerushalayim, have a big feast, had to all be finished by the morning. And in that feast, all of these friends coming together, eating all of this food, he would tell them exactly what it was. He would praise God, Yodul Hashem Chasdo, for the great miracle of his redemption, of his experience that he or she emerged from that moment of danger that from which they were saved. Does that not sound exactly like a Pesach Seder? Is that not exactly what we are doing in the Korban Pesach? We take an offering that had to be eaten with a group of people. Remember, in the original context, we can't do this, unfortunately, this year. But in the original context of the Korban Pesach, we literally had to gather together as many people as we could. A chabura, minuyim, they had to be part of the same bayit, as many as we could, because we had to finish this entire offering, or the Paschal offering, we had to finish it by the morning. And it had to be eaten with matzah, just like the Korban Todah had to be eaten with matzah. And as you gather all of the people around to eat the Korban Pesach together with its matzah, and the maror, which we can discuss in another context, but one of the interpretations of maror is that it was like a garnish to give extra taste to the meat. I mentioned that once before, it's Yerachayim HaKadosh. It says that it was like putting horseradish on your steak, kind of a garnish to enhance the flavor. Because it was the Korban Pesach was a form of a national Korban Todah. It was a national expression of thanksgiving. Not just the individual who brought a Korban Todah, but he was the entire Jewish people. And we had to eat it with matzah. We couldn't eat it with chametz. That's a separate discussion. We'll come to in a moment. But we had to eat it with matzah. And we had to eat it with our friends. And it had to be eaten by the morning. So in so many real ways, the Korban Todah was in fact, sorry, the Korban Pesach was in fact a Korban Todah on a national scale, both halachically and philosophically. Now, if that's true, it may answer for us one of the most vexing issues in this story, which is the distinction between the parts of the Korban Todah that were chametz and parts of the Korban Todah that were matzah. I know I'm going to run out of time. I announced initially that this is going to go from 9 to 10. With your permission, I'm going to try to go till 10:15 just to kind of pull all the loose ends together. So bear with me. But the question that remains is, why is it that the Korban Todah was both matzah and chametz, and the Korban Pesach, which is a form of Todah, thanksgiving, it includes the matzah, it includes the group meal, it includes the requirement to finish it together, it includes the requirement of magid and to tell the story, why does it not have chametz? Why is chametz asur on Pesach, and yet it was so prevalent a component of the korban and required in the korban Todah? So I want to draw your attention to this pasuk in source 25. We think of matzah, or let me rephrase that. We think of the prohibition of chametz as a Pesach issue. Famously, Yovel Ben-Nun wrote an article many years ago that appeared in the issue of Megadim, in which he points out that the issue of chametz, or the role of chametz and the role of matzah in Chumash as a whole, in Halacha as a whole, is far more pervasive than just Pesach. And so you find this pasuk, which we read last week, Vayikra Perek Bet. Kol ha-mincha she-takrivu la-Hashem, any meal offering that you bring to God, meaning there are many korbanot that required a meal offering of flour or flour and oil in the Beit HaMikdash. Lo te'aseh chametz, they may not be brought chametz, you may not let them become chametz. The Isser chametz isn't just for Pesach. It's anything that comes to the Mizbeach, anything that was brought to the altar in the Beit HaMikdash or the Mishkan could not be chametz. Leaven chametz was totally forbidden to reach the Mizbeach, ever. You may not bring leaven, nor may you bring dvash. Now, dvash here doesn't necessarily only mean honey as in bees' honey, or date honey. Dvash here is a reference to the equivalent of chametz. What chametz is in wheat or in grain, dvash is in fruit. Meaning chametz represents, or so'or represents the finished product, the end product, the ripe product in the production of grain. Dvash represents the ripe fruit or the finished fruit in the process of other produce such as fruit. For example, I think I've shared with you in the past the phrase that appears so many times in Tanakh describing the land of Israel as an Eretz Zavat Chalav U'Dvash, a land flowing with milk and honey. Honey doesn't flow. I've never seen a river flowing with milk. I've never seen a river flowing with honey. What is it flowing with milk and honey? So it's a beautiful poetic euphemism or description of an idiomatic expression of the fertility of the land of Israel. Zavat Chalav U'Dvash means a land that is flowing with milk. Where does the milk come from? Where does milk come from? Milk comes from animals, meaning that if the land is fertile and the land is a lot of grazing fields and lots of opportunities for healthy milk cows, then a land that is much, that produces a lot of milk is a land that has great fertility in terms of its fields and its grazing lands. Similarly with fruit, Dvash is a reflection of the produce of the land of Israel. When the spies went into the land of Israel, they were told to bring back large fruits to demonstrate the fertility of the land. So if you want to describe the goodness of the land, the fertility of the land, the idiom is about chalav u'dvash. It's got lots of milk and lots of fruit. But dvash there doesn't mean honey, it means fruit. And similarly, in this context, kol so'or v'chol dvash lo taktiru mimenu isha l'Hashem may not bring an offering of leaven or fruit, ripe fruit. Why not? So Rabbi Benon points out, and this is very powerful, that if you think about the symbolism, if you want to bring an offering to God, you want to bring a korban to the Beit HaMikdash, the whole notion of the Mizbeach was to reflect our sense of subservience to God, our sense of humility to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So an offering on the Mizbeach had to reflect our humility. By definition, chametz, which is the ripe, rich, finished product in grain, or dvash, which represents the finished product in fruit, represents the wealth, represents the achievement of what we've accomplished. And that's why matzah is called lechem oni, the poor man's bread, whereas chametz is lechem ashir, chametz is the rich man's bread, because chametz represents the end product. And matzah represents the beginning, the journey, the unfinished product. Similarly with regards to fruit. On the Mizbeach, you could never bring anything that represented the arrogance of the human being. Arrogance and the Mizbeach were anathema to each other. And so any offering on the Mizbeach had to be matzah or unfinished or unleavened. You could never bring to it. This is not about Pesach. It's in general about the Mizbeach. Chametz always represented the end product, the end result. And therefore, in a significant way, Pesach was prohibited in Chametz because the Torah did not want us to think that the redemption process was finished after we left Egypt. The redemption process was not finished after we left Egypt. We had a long way to go. We still had to go through the desert. We still had to go through Kriyat Yam Suf. More importantly, we had to reach Matan Torah. We had to receive the Torah in Har Sinai. By the way, what is the primary offering of Shavuot? What korban do we bring in Shavuot to demonstrate that it's the end process of the redemption of Mitzrayim? Shtei alechem, two loaves of bread. Chametz, not on the Mizbeach, they were brought to the korban, to the Kohen. But the offering of the two breads of Shavuot demonstrated that Shavuot was the completion of the process of Pesach. So the matzah chametz paradigm is that matzah represents the process as it begins to unfold but is not yet completed. And chametz represents the end process, the end result, which is why, and here I want to go back to the breads of the Lachmei Todah. There were 40 loaves of bread. The Torah describes four, Chazal multiply them into 40. But the four loaves of bread are three parts matzah, one part chametz. If you look at the stages described in this perek, in the process of redemption, in each one of these, it starts with the process of experiencing the anguish, the tsar, tsara, the trouble. Then it goes to the process, the stage in which we cry out to God because we realize that only God can save us from our troubles, the tzaka. Then God intervenes to save us, the Yeshua. And then when we finally reach the destination, we feel that sense of thanksgiving, we express todah, we express hodah, thanksgiving to the Ribono Shel Olam. If we look at this philosophically, the three parts chametz represent matzah, representing the various stages along the way, the anguish, the pain, the trial, followed by the cry to God, the prayer, followed by the sense that God is intervening. All of that is yet unfinished. That's the matzah of the process. Only when we finish the process, we reach the end result, we reach the geula, then can we bring the chametz that represents the end result. So a person who's bringing the gomel, bringing the korban todah, he's reached, he's followed this sequence. He's reached the context in which he's coming to bring the korban todah. His offerings are three-part matzah to represent the three stages of the trial, the prayer, the salvation, and one-part chametz to represent the expression of thanksgiving, the end result. But we at Pesach, we are not yet there. We are not celebrating the end result. We are only beginning that journey. Redemption from Egypt is a process, and it's a long way to go. We have to go through the desert. We have to go through Kriyat Yam Suf. We have to get to Har Sinai. We have to get to the land of Israel. And so our Pesach is matzah. It's not chametz. So that we should not think that we have reached the end process in that redemption. I'll show you a very interesting place where this expression or this distinction is manifest. If you look at the source 26 that I have right now on the screen, this is the portion that we say in the Haggadah when we describe the Maggid, right? The central part of the Maggid is a description of the experience of the slavery in Egypt, the redemption, the cry out to God from our of slavery, and then the salvation from Egypt. We quote these psukim from Arami Ovid Obi to here. We quote these psukim in the Haggadah. Arami Ovid Avi, my father was a fugitive or a lost Aramean, or an Aramean referring to Lot tried to destroy my father. We went down to Egypt. We dwelt there small in number. We became a great nation. They afflicted us, they afflicted us, they imprisoned us, they tortured us, they placed upon us great hardship. Step one, the anguish, the pain. Step two, we cried out to God, we heard our cry, we saw our affliction and our pain and our pressure, that we spoke about before. Step three, Yeshua, v'yotzienu Hashem Mitzrayim. God took us out of Egypt. He spared us, he saved us with a strong hand and an outstretched arm with great wonders and miracles and plagues in Egypt and redemption. Step three. But it's step three. It's not step four. At Pesach Seder, we celebrate with matzah, not chametz, because we are here. We don't get to step four until in the psukim and dvarim, to these psukim here. This is the farmer who brings his first fruits. Dvash to the Mikdash is an expression of the Bikurim, the first fruits. Brought us to this place. He gave us this land, Eretz Zavat Chalavu Dvash, a land flowing with milk and honey, with fertility and with fruits. Atayne veti et reshit pri admai, I brought the first fruits of the land and I brought them to God to rejoice. B'cholatov, this is the toda. This is chametz. This is what we can do on Shavuot, Chag HaBikurim, the celebration of the first fruits. This is not Pesach. Pesach is still matzah, not chametz. And so I come back to the question that the Mishnah Socher asked at the beginning of the shiur, which is the contradiction in the Minhagim of Pesach. And now suddenly we realize that the contradiction is easily resolved. We commemorate the matzah of the korban of Pesach with the matzah components of the korban todah, the three parts that were chametz, representing the three stages of our redemption from Egypt and the process leading towards that expression of thanksgiving of hoda'ah. But we're not yet there. We may not bring chametz because we have to recognize that Pesach is a journey. The redemption from Egypt is not, we are not yet fully redeemed. We still have to get to Matan Torah. We still have to get to Shavuot. We still have to get to the land of Israel. And so the matzah is matzah, not chametz. It's an iser chametz on Pesach to remind us that we're not there. And so we may not recite the mizmor l'todah in our tefillah because the todah offering was an offering that included the chametz. Because that was for the final product. That was for the final redemption. That was for the end result. That was on Shavuot. In Pesach, we're not yet there. So there's no Mizmor Todah. But to recognize that the stages that we are going through, that we are commemorating, that we are celebrating, that we were slaves, and that we cried out to God, and that he heard our cry, and then he intervened, and then he saved us. Those are the first three stages of the process of the Korban Todah. And they must be acknowledged. And therefore, we dafka make the matzah, the three matzahs of the Seder, to reflect that those first three stages, the matzah component of the Korban Todah. I just want to end with a reflection on the unique role that the Korban Todah plays overall in the mindset of Israel. The fact that we don't say, you know, Mizmor Todah is a tiny little paragraph. It's three lines, literally. It takes all of a nanosecond in our tefillah to recite Mizmor LaTodah. Just spent more time talking about Mizmor LaTodah than it would take us to say Mizmor LaTodah in our entire lifetimes. So why is it so important? The Todah offering is at the very heart of what tefillah is all about. It's not an arbitrary korban. It's not just one of a mix, a myriad of korbanot. The concept that we owe our lives to the Bon Shalom and we have to give thanks to God every day for the air we breathe, as I spoke about as at the start of the shiur, is at the core of what tefillah is about. And so I want to bring your attention to this medrash that appears in the psukim about the korban todah that we read this morning. A beautiful medrash that I think really says exactly what we're describing. Rabbi Pinchas, Rabbi Levi, Rabbi Yochanan, B'Shem, Rabbi Menachem, Degalia, said the following. La'atid lavo, will come a time when kol ha-korbanot betelim, when all of the sacrifices will no longer be necessary, will no longer need sin offerings, will no longer need guilt offerings, will no longer need a korban ola, will no longer need any of the korbanot. However, korban todai nabatel, but the thanksgiving offering will never be annulled. As even in the greatest time of the greatest redemption, the paradigm of redemption is always Yetziat Mitzrayim, and the paradigm of redemption to come will always be built around this message of thanksgiving. Kol ha-tfilot betelot, and even if all our prayers are no longer necessary, because we're living in a time of redemption, we've got everything. Hoda'a eina betela, but we can never annul the prayer of gratitude and thanksgiving. As it says in the Pasuk of Yirmiyahu, kol sason v'kol simcha, kol chatan v'kol kala, kol omim hodu et Hashem tzvakot. The notion, the redemption of Israel, which we pray for so dramatically, so intently, and we need, the world needs that redemption now more than ever. but it's predicated on the foundation of hoda'ah, of thanksgiving. And the korban todah, the tefillah of hoda'ah, our expressions of thanks, mixed with all of our expressions in the tefillot of health for the world and security for the world, and that this terrible magefa that has gripped the world is shall disappear as quickly as it came. With all of those tefillot, one can never forget. We must never forget that the most important tefillah of all is to express daily, "Moda ani l'fanecha melech chai b'kayam shechazarta bi nishmati b'chemla rabba munatecha." The notion that we thank the Rabban Shalom every day for the air we breathe and for the life we have, for the blessings of our family and our community, and that even if we can't embrace our community physically, we can certainly embrace our community at least through the vehicle of technology. Look how wondrous the vehicle of technology has given us the opportunity to embrace together as a community, even when we are forbidden to gather together in groups. There's so much in our lives to be grateful for, in our family, in our spouses, in our children, and in our grandchildren, and in our lives. The Korban Pesach is a reminder, and Pesach experience is a reminder, that we, at the core of everything we are, is that expression of hodah, of thanksgiving, to each other and to the Ribono Shel Olam for the blessings of daily life. No korban comes to its heels. No tefillah comes to its heels. Kol ha-tefillot telot hodah eina b'telah. That's what the Korban Pesach is. The Korban Pesach is a form of a Korban Todah. 3/4 of the way. Because the rest of the journey is for Shavuot. The rest of the journey is for the rest of the redemption. We have yet to get there. But at least for the stages that we have and for where we are experiencing through the matzah, we express that sense of deep gratitude to the Ribono Shel Olam for the redemption from Egypt and for the protection hovering over our homes, as I said at the outset of the shiur, literally hovering over our homes, protecting ourselves, protecting our families, protecting our homes and our lives. So I thank you for listening. I thank you for giving me your time this evening. And both from St. Louis and from Toronto and from a few other places. Mirat Hashem, this should be a skula for this Pesach when we are literally reenacting, not just leaving Mitzrayim, but we are reenacting what it meant to be in our homes, fear outside, not leaving our homes till the morning of redemption. That's what it's all about. Mirat Hashem, we should all be zochef through this Pesach to a full Geula Shlema, a full redemption for us and for the entire world. I thank you for listening, and good evening to you, or good morning in Australia, or wherever else you may be. And thank you for your time. Bezrat Hashem, we should all be zecha to a Geula Shlema. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Yeshua, Rabbi.
Ruch tia.
Thank you much.
Yeshua. Okay, let's leave the meeting. There.